I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's Metal Shop Backstage Pass here, and I'm actually on the phone right now with Karina Zachary, the vocalist for an awesome band called Husbandry. Now, if you're a fan of like death metal, black metal, and you're like, oh, he's got to be talking to the most brutal metal band, I will tell you, it is not exactly a metal band, but it's a very chaotic, interesting, kind of post-hardcore project. She said it, weirdo music. I love that term. First off, Karina Zachary, how are you doing today over in New York City? You're in Long Island, right?
Hi. I'm actually in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
We're a Brooklyn-based band.
Oh, okay.
We're pretty much up from all over New York for the most part. I'm originally from the Bronx. We have a Queens native. And our drummer's from Rockland, so we're all pretty much local New York people.
Okay, and
aside from our bassist, who's from Barcelona, Spain.
Oh wow! Okay,
but he's been living here for a while. Yeah.
So a little bit before the interview, you mentioned, we were talking off air, that you have to work from home for your day job. How's that been for you? Like, as far as like schedule, is it strange, like being able to wake up and then just log right on?
I mean, it is a little bit odd just because I've moved. I'm a pharmacy technician, mm-hmm. so I work physically in the pharmacy. And so throughout the years, I've kind of moved through different departments. And the department that I'm in now is more of an administrative role.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of does lend itself to being able to work remotely.
Yeah.
And it was coincidentally something that I have been working towards. It just sucks that it's, you know, due to these circumstances with COVID-19.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a little bit weird just because I feel like I'm more focused here at home,
mm-hmm.
and I'm able to get more work done than being physically at the job.
So
it hasn't been too bad of a transition.
When obviously there's no time frame on this, but when things go back to some semblance of normalcy and they're trying to get you back into the workplace, you can just be like, nah, this is what I was working for. Like, this is,
you know, I am going to try to, you know, come up with my angle when that time comes to keep it as a permanent thing.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get as much work done as I can, you know, every day to kind of prove that, you know, they have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, well,
working from home.
With you know, working from home, obviously everyone's staying home, and mm-hmm. New York City has been hit pretty hard with that, especially like, you know, in the city. Washington was one of the first to really be hit hard with everything in the pandemic. How are you personally and like mentally, how are you staying safe and sane and just holding up and filling your time, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty crazy following the news and seeing how quickly, you know, things took a turn here, mm-hmm. in the United States in general, and especially working in like the health industry. So we've been kind of paying attention to this for a while, but I don't think any of us really knew how crazy things were going to get,
yeah,
and how much a lack of resources we actually had, you know, in terms of hospitals and like protection and things like that. Like, I don't think any of us really had an idea, unless, you know, you're working at a hospital and you have like firsthand knowledge of what you have available to you. So I really, you know, I feel a lot for like people who are on the front lines, for the nurses and the doctors. I mean, mm-hmm. I've gotten calls from, you know, last week I got a call from a doctor who was calling in a prescription for himself, and he was himself in isolation with his own patient because they both have COVID-19. So it's like, you know, I talk to a lot of patients too, and it's been crazy seeing how affected they are, whether it's them, you know, contracting it or knowing family members or friends who have died or who are battling it. And it kind of sucks because I also read a lot about people talking about how it's like a hoax and it's not as serious as like the media makes it seem. And
yeah,
that really sucks because there are actually people dying, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. and it's a really serious thing. And
yeah,
you know, we're not being asked too much to stay home, you know, and although I do know that there are a lot of people who don't have that, you know, luxury mm-hmm. of being able to stay home and still generate income. So it's really bad on all fronts. And I think it definitely helps that I'm able to be in the position that I am. And I'm really, you know, grateful to be able to still have a job and
yeah.
have all the things that I need in my home. And it's also been really good for me to the fact that I actually live with my sister. So
nice.
You know, my family lives in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
But being able to be with my sister here, it's like, you know, we're in quarantine, mm-hmm. but you know, it's good to be with people that you feel comfortable with and, you know, people that you care about. 'Cause I know a lot of people are struggling with the isolation, you know,
yeah.
being alone or being in situations that with people that, you know, aren't healthy to be around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot, you know.
Well,
I definitely feel for a lot of people.
You are around like the news and obviously you're like, you know, facing a lot of it being in the health care industry and on that and the pharmacy side of it. When things mm-hmm. are, you know, overwhelming for you, what's your release? What's like your way to just like kind of, you know, forget about it for a little while and just, you know, enjoy something?
Well, I guess music is a given.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what I turn to for everything, you mm-hmm. know, whether I'm happy, whether I'm sad, whether I'm, you know, distraught. That's kind of like the first thing I turn to. But I've actually been really getting into meditation.
Nice.
Even before the pandemic, I just, you know, I started kind of doing things that felt natural to me. Like, you know, I'm not like one of those like really gung-ho, like, you know, following gurus and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I have found that meditation really does make an impact on your mental health and your emotional health. So that's something that I've been, you know, trying to be more active in. And
yeah,
just trying to, you know, clear my head whenever it does feel like it's getting a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I've been trying to cut down on the amount of, you know, information I consume online.
Sure. 'Cause
that will drive you crazy.
Yeah, it's a bit overwhelming for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, you said that the music was like the first thing that comes to mind. And, mm-hmm. You know, I've been asking a couple of people and I'm curious for you. Are there any albums that's come to mind that like, if you're ever feeling overwhelmed or you're just having like a day, negative energy all around you, you could put it on and it'll change your mind frame or just get you in a positive mindset?
That's kind of a tough question just because there are so many.
Yeah.
There are so many that I love. It really depends, you know, it really depends for me.
Okay.
I think anything Deftones.
Yeah.
For sure. Like any Deftones album, like I can put on any day of the week and automatically just feel, you know, lighter. And I don't know, like it just, there's a lot of nostalgia for me when it comes to Deftones.
What's your favorite Deftones record? Because mine is Diamond Eyes.
I really love that one. I think I think White Pony is my favorite Deftones album, although I find myself going to, you know, the B-sides album a lot.
Because
I love hearing those stripped-down versions of songs.
And that Sade cover? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the Sade cover. I was just listening to that, like, on repeat the other day. It's,
hell yeah.
I love those stripped-down versions. It never gets old. And sometimes I'll find myself listening a lot to the Vitamin String Quartet album of Deftones songs, too.
Oh, I haven't checked that out.
I like their take on it. Yeah, like, it's all, like, Deftones songs, but it's all, you know, played by strings, and it sounds awesome, and it's such a different, like, reimagined version of their songs.
What do you... Is that like a kind of like a bucket list thing for husbandry to play with Deftones? Do you think that would be kind of a dream scenario?
Hell yeah! I mean, that would, you know, like, yeah, for sure. There were a few things that growing up, you know, I always kind of used as like motivation and like. Mm-hmm. To keep me focused on, like, you know, just getting better as a songwriter and as mm-hmm. a vocalist. And that's definitely being able to play with them. That was definitely a driving factor. And my other thing was being able to work on something with Chris Cornell. And, you know, it kind of sucks because that'll never happen. But, you know, he's still very much a huge influence for me.
But you could still play with Deftones. Let's hold on to that one. Have you guys had any band meetings on Zoom or just like hangouts? Maybe just like a happy hour with your band or just you know, popping up?
We were actually talking about that. We jumped on a quick one. I think it was two nights ago. The drummer missed out on that one because he was busy. But I got on with Jordan, my guitarist, mm-hmm. and Arnau, my bassist, and. It was just a little quick one. We were just being silly and, you know, just checking in with each other. And we actually have one scheduled for tonight later on. So that should be fun and cool because it's weird, you know, like you're used to like your routine of being able to see your people, you know, and hang out and do what you do. And it's definitely a weird situation to be in, especially as a creative person. Who collaborates with other people.
Right? How often do you guys usually, like, see each other? Like, how do you guys practice, like, once, twice a week?
Like, three times a week.
Oh, wow. Okay. Super dedicated. Did you guys...
Yeah, we definitely, you know, made it a mission very early on, whether we're playing shows or not, whether we're writing music or not, to, you know, have practices as frequently as we can.
Well, you know, with this necessity is going to kind of breed some sort of creativity. So we'll see how you guys can work it out, but I'm sure you'll work out something.
Yeah.
So I don't want to dwell on the negative too much. And I do want to talk a little bit about, like the history of your band and some of your early influences and stuff. But I do got to ask, did this put a wrench on any like touring or any shows you guys were going to play? Did you guys have to delay or even cancel anything?
Well, I think we had maybe one or two shows lined up right before, you know, the things really got crazy. Mm-hmm. So we didn't really have anything big lined up. I've been seeing a lot of bands, you know, having to cancel really cool, you know, tours and things like that, and that really sucks.
Yeah. And there's some of those bands you can actually, you can help support them by buy t-shirts that they already pre-made mm-hmm. for their tour with their tour dates on it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, so at this point, the best, you know, the best way you can help these bands out is by, you know, buying their merch, buying mm-hmm. their music. Now is really the time. If you actually support a band and you really love them and, you know, you want to help them in whatever way you can, it, actually purchasing what they have to offer.
Absolutely. If you can purchase A Port in a Storm available now, this is, I'm talking with husbandry vocalist Karina Zachary, and I wanted to get into a bit of, like, your formative years. So if you can, even if it's embarrassing, nothing's off the table here, I want you to think mm-hmm. back. What was the first album, like CD, tape, whatever format, that you purchased on your own with your own money?
With my own money?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Well, here goes.
Yep.
The first physical CD, what I used to do is I used to record stuff off the radio.
Oh, yeah.
The radio stations,
yep.
The cassette.
You'd always get like a couple seconds of the DJ's voice or something.
Exactly. Yep. You know? So I had a bunch of those. But yeah, the first one I ever got with my own money was Hybrid Theory.
Okay. Linkin Park. Before. Yeah.
Yep.
R.I.P. Chester.
My money from my very first summer youth job. And they had just come out with that. And mm-hmm. I was with my stepfather at like the mall in like New Jersey or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, let me just get this. I have the opportunity now. Let me just buy this now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so that was the very first one.
So what kind of progressed your journey? Obviously you guys are, like in the, kind of melodic post-hardcore world and, take a lot of, influence at least from an outsider perspective from a lot of different genres I can hear. What was kind of your journey? How did you get into underground music and stuff like that?
So I've been singing since I was a kid, since I was about 5 or 6.
Awesome.
And, the problem is that I was really shy about it. So mm-hmm. when I was about 11 or 12 and I got some middle school, I was like, all right, if I'm going to be doing this, I got to get over my
yeah.
and figure out how to get over, you know, my shyness and be able to actually perform. Mm-hmm. So I started taking theater. I started taking dance. I started taking everything that I could get my hands on to
yeah.
get over that. And eventually I ended up in an after school program that was like a band, and they had two vocalists, me and another girl, and we were more on the R&B kind of side.
Okay.
So my origins in terms of singing are very much like rooted in R&B and blues and mm-hmm. That sort of thing. At the same time, you know, I was listening to Alice in Chains and yeah. like, you know, other bands, because my father, because he was very much into, you know, alternative and rock and heavy music.
You got the rocker dad.
Mm-hmm. And then my mom was, you know, this Dominican lady mm-hmm. blasting Spanish music.
Nice.
So I kind of got, I was brought up in a cocktail of, you know, music.
Mm-hmm.
I never felt super limited. And then what ended up happening is that as I got older and I started doing talent shows and things like that and meeting other creative people in school, I started leaning towards the more alternative, you know, quote unquote weird kids in school.
Okay.
You know, the skaters.
Yep.
And through that, I started getting exposed. Yeah, exactly. I was involved in so many different social circles in school.
Yeah.
You couldn't really pin me down. So, you know, I was in this math and science program in school. And mm-hmm. then I also hung out with the theater kids. And then, you know, so I never really had to choose
mm-hmm.
in terms of like the people and the things that I liked. And I've never been the kind of person that likes to be boxed in anyway.
Yeah.
So for me, it's always been free reign. And I had a lot of friends that were in bands, and we would go to local shows and things like that. And the one thing that I kept seeing was that there were never enough girls,
That's
whether
true.
It was in bands or in the crowd, like there was never enough girls. And at a certain point, you know, I was like, you know what? I can do this. So I started just, you know, messing around with friends and trying to get them to let me audition.
Yeah.
And, yeah, a lot of the times I didn't really get taken seriously because it very much was like a boys club growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of inspired me to get a little bit more serious about it and hone my skills on my own and start writing my own songs and just, you know, experimenting. Because I feel like I've always been the kind of person that if you tell me I can't do something, that just makes me want to do it even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so as I got older, you know, I started really experimenting and meeting other people who wanted to, you know, work on music. And mm-hmm. so I've essentially been in and out of band since I was about 18 or so, 19.
Okay, give me the names. Give me the names here.
So, let's see. So I was in a band called The Perfect Wake.
Okay.
I was in a band called This Side of You.
Ooh.
And then other bands that were less official, I guess, more of the, on the jamming side.
Yeah.
Informal. So there was a lot of that. And you know, projects that never really took off.
Sure.
And it was, you know, I actually met the husbandry guys. I wasn't looking to be in a band when I got together with these guys. I needed a break from that because mm-hmm. it was like I never, at the time, I wasn't working with people who I felt wanted to really, you know, work on things and really develop and take it not like super seriously, but, you know, for me, it is serious in the sense that I care about the quality of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just, you know, it's not just something that I do just to do, regardless of where it takes me. So I was working with, you know, people who wouldn't show up or, you know, felt like doing dumb stuff was more important. I would, you know, we would have a show and 2 days before the show, we'd find out the drummer was arrested or something like that.
Oh,
you know,
damn.
It was a headache.
Drama.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm going back to basics. I'm going to find a guitarist and I'm just going to start making, you know, I was writing some like blues, like folksy stuff.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Like, I just need a guy who knows what he's doing on guitar because I dabble, but I know my strengths.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, let me just get find a guitarist that, you know, I click with and, you know, just strip things down and take it back to basics. And I was actually on Craigslist looking for that person and I came across an ad that the husbandry guys had put up where they were saying they were looking for a vocalist. And I initially was hesitant to reach out, but I read their influences and I was like, these guys sound like they really want to do this. And we have a lot of the same influences. So
yeah.
I was like, what the hell? Let's try. Let's give it one more go.
And how did that go? How did the first initial, like, you know, jamming, like, did, would you guys, you know, how'd you guys get along, I guess?
So what ended up happening is that once we actually got in touch, they had already been playing, locally, as a three piece, like instrumental.
Yeah.
They had also tried out other vocalists. So, you know, I asked them to send over anything that they had recorded and they sent me a few songs, instrumentals that they had recorded.
Yeah.
And what I did was I chose one of them and I wrote to that song. And then I did a little bootleg recording of my idea for the song.
Yeah.
And I sent it back to them. And I was like, if you guys like it, let me know what day you guys are free and we'll get together and we'll try it, you know, in person. And that's what ended up happening. I showed up and, you know, we spoke for a little bit. And got to know each other, and we played the song, and it was kind of like, all right, I'm your singer.
Oh, that's awesome. What year was this?
This was 2013, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so this is, you guys been doing it for 7 years.
We have. It's crazy to think about, because it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
But yes.
Damn. I think we all have a little extra time these days, so I'm going to do that. I promise you that I'm going to do a little deep dive and I'm going to go back, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to do the backwards way. I'm going to go to the most recent album after Port in a Storm. And then I'm going to go all the way to the first EP. So I'll report mm-hmm. back on my thoughts and I'm sure I'll love it. So,
and then it's also funny to me too, because there are certain things that I'll listen back and I'm like, what the hell was I thinking?
Nah.
Back then? Like, what was that, Karina?
Yeah. Kind of like cringy early moments, right?
Yes, yes, yes. And even, you know, things that they, because a lot of, they always laugh at me because a lot of the songs that, a lot of things that I get inspired by, like, you know, it comes from like TV shows or like characters, movies, things
yeah.
like that. So, like, I always remember the shit that I write about, and I'm like, what the hell were you thinking? But it's always funny to me, too, because, you know, it'll start off like that. A lot of times I'll start off knowing exactly what I want to write about, and then halfway through the song, it turns into something completely different. Or I'll start off, you know, just kind of aimless, and once I finish the song, I'm like, oh, this is what that was about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always different, depending.
Well, I mean, obviously, we were saying how there's no, you know, timeline for this, but let's imagine, you know, things get back to normal, or at least a semblance of normal, or what people are saying is, quote unquote, the new normal, right? What when that happens, what are some of your goals? If that's 2020 or 2021, what things are you looking to achieve with husbandry?
I think we would all agree that we would want to get back to playing shows ASAP.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like, there is such a satisfaction that comes from playing live and connecting with people in person, through shows, you know, it's very different sitting down to listen to a record and like actually experiencing the energy that's behind that in person.
Yeah.
And that goes for us too, playing the show. It's, you know, like something being unleashed. So we definitely miss that. We were kind of also right before this, we were kind of also in the process of like starting to like dabble with new ideas for new songs.
Okay.
So that's going to be something that's going to be really fun for us, because we're trying to basically go left from where we went with this album.
Okay.
So we're trying to be a little bit more open to things that we weren't willing to try before, in terms of like, you know, things like, I think we got a little bit known for like dragging out songs, like spitting out really long songs, like 5 minutes, 7 minutes, on some of the tracks for the last album. And we kind of want to try something different with the new songs, and maybe explore more ambient sounds.
Sure.
You know, we just want to get a little bit more experimental, and there's always a lot of enjoyment that comes from that, from just having no rules.
Okay. Yeah. Not boxing yourself in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yes. And, you know, being affected by all of this that's happening, I think, you know, when we do come back together, whether it's with the band or whether it's with people that we know, we're going to be different. You know, nothing is going to be the same.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a way that something like this can happen and things can truly go back to the way they were, you know?
It's certainly going to be like, it's going to be like that thing, like AD, you know, BC, AD, it's going to be like PC, post-COVID, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people are changed, you know, the access to information that we have, constantly seeing how people are affected by this,
mm-hmm.
like it changes you mentally, emotionally, like, and it also serves, I would hope it also serves to give you perspective about the things that are actually important in life. You know, maybe there's stuff that you thought were super important before, and now you're realizing that, you know, maybe you ought to shift your priorities a little bit.
That's a good point. I think, you know, just be open to those things and I guess, you know, reassess. And it's certainly giving us all a lot of time to think about what's important to us. So I do agree with that. So, you know, I do want to play a song by you guys. So I'm going to go into the first song from the album. But before I do that, I did want to end by asking you something that I like to ask a lot of people. And it's something that I'm putting you on the spot. So, you know, you can take some time with it. But I want you to...
I'm scared now.
All right. Well, don't be scared. I know you're a music lover, so it's going to be easy on that end. What are four albums that have directly, positively influenced your life?
four albums that have directly, positively influenced my life. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. That is really tough, but okay. So I am going to say White Pony.
Yeah.
My Deftones, yes.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to say White Pony. I also want to say Our Mother the Mountain by Townes Vincent.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because before coming across that album, I hadn't really explored that kind of music. And I didn't realize how much I was going to connect to it and connect to his songwriting. And that album kind of opened the door for me to other artists as well.
Yeah.
What else? Let's see. Damn, this is hard. Let me think. Well, he really did put me on the spot. How else was the narrow down?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be, like, the definitive, like, things. Just a couple things that, you know, you love.
Mm-hmm. So I will say Aaliyah's last album.
Oh, yeah.
The self-titled album. Mm-hmm. Mainly because that album is something that really inspired me to dive into singing.
Yeah.
Like it really inspired me to get over. That came out around the time I was like 13 or so.
Okay. Yeah.
And that really, I had always been really influenced by her.
Mm-hmm.
But the last album, Francis the Mute, for sure.
Oh, okay.
And then Mars Volta. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I would say that one for sure.
When I hear Husbandry, it reminded me a tiny bit of Mars Volta. Not saying like, you know, but it was just like it.
No, we're definitely fans. We're all. That's definitely something that we, you know, at the drive-in and the Mars Volta, we definitely have those things in common.
Okay.
And Francis the Mute for sure was an album that just kind of blew my mind. I mean, I had been introduced to their previous stuff before,
yeah.
But at the like specific time that I got to that album,
yeah,
and the things that were going on in my life at that time and the things that I was into. I mean, I was reading The Doors of Perception by Aldous Huxley,
yeah,
and doing a little experimenting of my own.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean? And that album was kind of the soundtrack for me.
Yeah.
You know, where I was living, I had first moved out for the first time with mm-hmm. roommates, and, you know, I was spending a lot of time contemplating a lot of things in my life. I had lost a friend to a heroin overdose.
Oh, wow.
And so that album really, you know, I can't say that I was, like, spiraling out of control during that time, but it was, I was definitely having a really deep journey inward.
Yeah.
During that time, and that was the soundtrack to what I was going through at the time.
Damn. Well, so yeah, mixed together Deftones, Townes Van Zandt, some Aaliyah, and some Mars Volta, and you've got Karina Zachary.
Yep.
I love it.
In a nutshell.
Nice. Well, we're going to go into a song here, the first song from the record. I'm going to hopefully pronounce it Lupus Day. Is that right? Something.
It's Latin.
Okay. All right. And it's off the record by Husbandry, A Port in a Storm. Is there anything you want to say to the Northwest audience or anyone who's listening right now that might be, you know, staying home and trying to get through this?
All I can say is, you know, despite the craziness of our reality outside, try to stay positive. Try to focus on things that you love, and just really take the time to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Not just physically, you know, not just physically protecting yourself, but, you know, mentally and emotionally, like cater to the things that maybe you didn't have time to before all of this. And hopefully, you know, when we do emerge from this, we'll emerge better people and with more of an understanding of how to go about shifting the world in the way that it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
And the way that it's supposed to be for the well-being of everyone.
Well said. Well said. And we're going to go into a husbandry song here. So, Karina, thank you so much for taking the time to do this long podcast interview. And
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
I really appreciate it.
And stay safe out there and stay sane and stay connected. And I'll talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.